I certainly hope they are anyway. Easy to follow. But it says there in verse 22, Isaiah 45, 22, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." People all over the world are looking to be saved. A lot of preachers today are going to try to get people saved. Going to have them walk aisles, prayer, sign a card, join a church, and tell them that they're fixed up for heaven. And that a lot are looking in books, looking in creeds, making prayers, got their little beads to go through and handle and run through their fingers. A lot of people are looking to water. Over in India, folks make great pilgrimage to get in one of the nastiest rivers on the face of the earth, the Ganges. And think when they get in that, you know, they've arrived. They've arrived. They say that there's 1,000 different religions in this world. And 2 million different gods. And I wouldn't doubt it a bit. Wouldn't doubt it a bit. And then there are folks who are looking. When God says, "Look unto me and be ye saved," there are people, instead of doing that, they look to themselves. They look to their own strength. When God says, "You know, those that look unto me, I shall be their strength." They look to their intellect, their brilliance, their education. They look to their virtues. They look to their good deeds. They look to their giving. They even look to their wills. Their right to make their choices. Some go to gurus. Some are looking for some new leader with some new idea. Some folks go and get in a commune to hide themselves so that they can find themselves. And if you ever look to find yourself, you'll never find yourself. Only God can find you. And if He ever finds you, you really sure enough been found. And then there are folks that are looking to preachers. Call a preacher. I remember reading where Mr. Spurgeon, a fellow got him out of bed 3 o'clock in the morning to come to a bedside of a man that was dying. And Mr. Spurgeon says, "Why do you want me to go see him? Does a man ever go to attend a service? No. Did he ever read a Bible? No. Did he ever pray? Not that I know of. Did he ever believe on God? Not that I know of. As far as I know, he didn't believe anything." He said, "Why in the world do you want me to go over there to be with him then? Why would you want me to go?" And that's what preachers want. That people want. They want a preacher when they get married, a preacher to baptize them, and a preacher to bury them. And when they get sick, other than that time, they don't need a preacher for nothing. They don't need God. They don't need mercy. They don't need anything until it comes time to get married, to get baptized, or to get buried. That's the only time they need them. And they're looking to denominations. They love their denominations. They love their titles. They love their churches. And some are looking to the Bible. But what happens to those that don't look unto God? Look here in verse 15 and 16. This is what happens to those that don't look unto the Lord, that looks every place else. "Verily thou art a God that hidest thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior." He hides himself. "They shall be ashamed and also confounded, all of them. They shall go to confusion together that are makers of idols." Whether you make them in your mind, or whether you make them with your hands, or whether you buy them at the store. going to be brought to shame. Is that not right? But God Himself tells us where to look. God says this now. Tell ye, verse 21, tell ye, assemble yourselves, come together here. Tell ye and bring them near. Let every man take counsel together when you assemble yourself. Is there any among you that ever declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And this is what I've been telling you right from the very beginning, from Genesis. There is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There's none beside me. Look, since there's no other Savior, since I'm a just God and a Savior, and there's nobody else besides me but that's just and saves. So therefore, look unto me and be ye saved by a just God and a Savior. And be ye saved all to the ends of the world. For I am God, and there is none else. My message today is salvation in a look. Life in a look. Look unto me, life in a look. Salvation, beloved, is seeing the Son of God. Salvation is seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a look at a person. Our Lord Jesus Christ Himself says, you know, this is the will of the Father, that everyone which seeth the Son hath life. Not going to get life, hath life. When you see the Son, you've got life. He that hath the Son hath life. Now you keep Isaiah, if you don't mind, you keep Isaiah 45 and turn with me to John chapter 1. John's Gospel chapter 1. You know, a salvation is a look at a person. We're not just saying to look, but look at us, why God says, look unto me. Look unto me, God. There's life in a look. Salvation starts with a look, looking at a person. Salvation continues with a look. And salvation will all ultimately end with a look. Three looks, and now all of them is salvation. There's first of all life in a look. That's what God said, behold, my servant. Stop, listen, look at my servant. He said to Zion, behold your God, look to your God. He said to, when they brought the Lord Jesus Christ out in His crucifixion, and they brought Him out and put that purple robe on Him and that crown of thorns on His head, they said, behold your King! And then after they had beaten Him in front of, and Pilate wanted to let Him go, then Pilate brought Him out and says, behold the man! Look at this man! Look at this King! And that's my message to sinners. Look and live. Look what He said down here in John chapter 1 and verse 35. And again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples and looking upon Jesus as He walked, He said, behold the Lamb of God. That's what He said in John 1:29. Behold the Lamb of God. Who is this Lamb of God? He's the one that's going to take away the sin of the world. Look unto me, all ye the ends of the earth. I'm going to take away the sin of all my people that's in this world. And He says, behold, as He saw the Lord Jesus walking, behold the Lamb of God. See how that's capitalized, Lamb. That's one of the titles. That's one of the blessed names of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch what happens. And the two disciples heard Him speak, and they followed the Lord Jesus. Oh, behold, look. This is my message to sinners. Look. When we say look, it's the gospel of faith. You're not saved by doing. You're saved by looking. Saved by believing. This is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son. Do you believe that? Seeing the Son, that you'll have life. That you're not going to get it, but when you see Him, you have it. You don't do anything to get life. You look. All that John said was, behold the Lamb of God. Those two fellows said, that's Him? That's the one? He said, I believe that. And they followed Him. And not only look, the gospel of faith, behold the gospel of substitution. He says, behold the Lamb. A lamb was what God offered. A lamb was what was, the blood of a lamb was what was put on the lintels of the doors in Egypt and brought them out. It was the blood of a lamb that Abel looked to, and God looked unto him and said, "Behold, he had a greater sacrifice. He had the right sacrifice." When Abraham took Isaac upon the mountain, and he said, "Father, here we got the wood, we got the fire, we got the knife, we got everything we need. The only thing we don't have when we get there is a lamb." Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb." And when he got there and he put him on that altar and strapped him down, God stopped him and he looked around, behold, a ram caught in the thicket. And he put that ram in the stead of Isaac. And that's what the Lamb of God is. He's come to be put in our stead. He himself bore our sins in his own body. He's the Lamb of God's providing. He's the Lamb that God sent into this world. And oh, beloved, not only look, is it the gospel of substitution, but look, the gospel of sin offering. God told Cain, when Cain slew his brother Abel, he says, "You know, since sin lies at your door," what he meant was there's a sin at your door, but there's a provision for your sin in that lamb. If you'd done well, like Abel did, to provide that lamb. And beloved, I'm telling you, there ain't but one sin offering in this world. Always been just one sin offering. All the lambs of all the blood and all the goats and all the bullocks that were ever offered never put away one sin. But this man, once in the end of the world, by the sacrifice of himself, put away sin once and for all. I mean, beloved, people think that they can do something to put away their sin. "Well, I mowed my neighbor's yard." Oh, that's going to help you real good with God. "I went to that benefit and I gave more than anybody else did." That's really going to help you. "Got all my clothes together and gave them away to Goodwill." That's really going to help you too. You can, a man cannot do anything to put away one sin. Not a sin of thought. How many times have you sinned in your mind? Who go put away all them sins? "Lord, if thou shouldest mark iniquity, who would be able to stand?" Bless his holy name. He did mark it. And where did he mark it at? He marked it in his Son. And now, there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. And now when he looks at us, because Christ is our sin offering, he put away sin once and for all by the sacrifice of himself. No more sin. Like he said in the song, those that we are approved only in the Son. And not only that, but it's the gospel. Look, it's the gospel of God's sovereignty. When it says, "Behold the Lamb of God here," you know who... whoever in the world could provide a lamb that would put away the sin of all of his people once and for all? Who could make a man to be made sin who knew no sin except God? It was God who provided that lamb. Abraham said, "God will provide that lamb." God told Moses, he said, "Get a lamb and take that blood." Every lamb that God used in the scriptures, God provided it. God told him what to do. And beloved, it's the gospel of God's sovereignty. God provided this lamb. We didn't provide it. We couldn't provide it. We didn't know what to ask for. We didn't know what to look for. And not only that, but it's the gospel of God's grace. You think God provided a lamb and not going to make that lamb effectual? Not make his blood effectual? To not make it do what it was intended to do? Save those that it was intended to save? It's the gospel of grace. God provided this lamb. God gave his only begotten Son. God sent him into the world. And bless his holy name. It's the gospel of mercy. Mercy. And that's why I said, look back over here in in Isaiah 45 just a moment. We don't look in vain. Look what it says there in verse 19. We don't look in vain. I mean, when a man looks, he's not looking in vain. I have not spoken in secret in the dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I didn't say seek ye me in vain. He said, I the Lord speak righteousness, I declare the things that are right. I didn't tell this in a corner. I didn't speak it. I said unto you, seek me. And I didn't say do it in vain. And let me tell you something, beloved. This look, this revelation of seeing the Lamb of God, seeing Christ, looking unto God to be saved. This look, this revelation of seeing Christ is given by God Himself to see His blessed Son and to see God's glory in Him. There's no way in the world that a man could ever see Christ if God didn't give him that view. If God didn't reveal Him to him. If God didn't cause him to look. And I tell you, beloved, look with me in Matthew chapter 11, just a moment. I'll show you what I'm talking about. Our Lord Jesus Christ told those Pharisees one day, Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. He told them Pharisees one day, you know, they're talking about all that they're going to do and how they're going to be saved and all the works that they could do. And our Lord Jesus says, no man can come unto me except the Father which sent me draw him. And as it is written in the prophets, they shall every one of them be taught of God. And everyone that hath heard and learned of the Father, what does he do? He comes to me. Look here, Matthew 11:25, talking about looking and God giving you that sight. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee. This is what God thinks. That's what our Lord Jesus Christ thinks about the sovereignty of God's blessed grace in opening sinners' eyes and not. I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. That's what we just read over in Isaiah 45. Lord of heaven, I created the heavens, put the stars in the skies, because thou hast hid these things from the wise, those that's got all the answers, those that knows how to be saved. Those that joined the church. Those that bowed, you know, went to an altar and made them a profession. And to the prudent. But oh my, what'd you do? You revealed them unto the little babies. And oh, and he said, what did he say about that? That ain't fair. That's not right. That's not equal. He takes the folks that got all this intellect and all this reasoning power and all this great education and all these wise, prudent people that can manage in this world very well and can do things very well by themselves, and they can get saved by their own will, by their own choice, by their own power, and live right to their own power. He said, I'll tell you what, he says, those wise and prudent said, I've hid these things from them. They ain't going to never see Christ. They ain't gonna never see grace. They ain't never gonna see God's sovereignty. They ain't never gonna see what salvation is. But he says, there's a bunch of little old folks in this world don't know nothing. He says, and you know, they're babies. They can't do anything for themselves. All the thing a baby can do is make a mess and whine and cry and throw fits. Somebody else got to take care of them from start to finish. And then our Lord Jesus Christ says, you know what I'll say about that? Oh, Father, that's good. It is good in your sight. And then whatever good in God's sight, that's good in our sight. Wouldn't you say that? And oh, beloved, let me tell you something. You remember when Simeon, he was waiting in the temple to see the consolation of Israel, and the Scriptures tell us that Simeon, an old man, he saw it, a 40-day-old baby there when they come to offer him to the Lord. They saw him there and he says, picked him up and took him in his arms and says, my eyes have seen thy salvation in that little child, that baby. And Simeon saw him, though he was an infant. Bartimaeus saw him, though he was blind. Lazarus saw him, though he was dead. How does that happen? Even so, it seemed good in my sight. And oh, let me show you something. No, look over in Zechariah. You know, Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. You went to Matthew and went one book back, you'd be in Malachi. One book before that is Zechariah. Look in Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10. Oh, this look into Christ, seeing Christ, is given by God Himself to see the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Paul said, we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. Look what is said here in verse 10. Zechariah 12:10. And thou wilt pour upon the house of David. Now David, Christ is the son of David. He was David made after the flesh. And upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, what am I going to do? I'm going to pour upon the spirit of grace and cup of supplication. And now look what it says. And they shall look upon him, me, whom they have pierced. I'm going to give them, they're going to look on me whom they have pierced. And when they look, they're going to mourn. They're going to mourn for their sin. They're going to mourn for the rebellion. They're going to mourn for their enmity. And they're going to be in bitterness, repentance, because they've seen Him. And I tell you, beloved, look and see this, that Christ is all. That's what Brad preached last Sunday morning. Christ is all. He is all. He's all and in all. And that's why circumcision don't avail anything to a Jew. Uncircumcision don't avail anything to somebody that's not one. Getting clean or unclean, that has nothing to do with it. But a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. When I say look, that means to hear His voice. When I say look, that means to taste that the Lord is gracious. When I say look, it means to come unto Him and rest. And oh, beloved, let me tell you, life's in a look. Now, let's look at the second thing. Not only is life in a look. Look unto me and be ye saved. But life is preserved in a look. Look in Hebrews chapter 12. You know how our life keeps on living, how our faith keeps on growing, how we keep on being saved, how we're still saved after we've looked unto the Lord and been saved? Saved means to be delivered. Saved means to be... saved from trouble. Saved from sin. We're not talking about just this idea, you know, I got saved back there and I just haven't lived for Jesus. No, if you ever, God ever saves you. A woman asked me one time, how should we, you know, we was in a meeting one time and several folks say, you know, when I got saved. A woman asked me, she said, do you ever use the term I got saved or the Lord saved me? I said, since the Lord saved me, I say the Lord saved me. I don't never say I got saved. No. That means you have something, that automatically presupposes you had something to do with it. Or somebody else did. But when you say, the Lord saved me. Or when the Lord saved me. And that's scriptural language. Look unto me and be ye saved. He didn't say, look to yourself and say, look to the Lord and say, I got saved. If you got it, you can lose it. But if He gives it to you, you got it forever. I'm gonna quit preaching and tell you something serious now. That's why you don't look to what happened yesterday. You don't go back to yesterday. You're looking to Christ right now. Is that not right? Because if you look back to yesterday for some that kind of experience, then you're going to come short. We're not looking to experiences, we're looking to a person. Though we've been saved by the grace of God, though God worked in us, the glory of God worked Christ in us, created us new creatures, and we've had lots of experience, we never look to an experience. We don't even look to our faith. We look to Christ and Christ alone. We look outside ourselves. We've got to always look outside ourselves. The minute you start looking to yourself for anything, all the things going to happen, you're going to get discouraged, you're going to get depressed, you're going to get aggravated, you're going to get ashamed, and you're going to, or else you're going to be one of you to do that, or you'll become a hypocrite and say, boy, I'm a good person. One or the other, no middle ground. And that's why, beloved, he says, look unto me and be ye saved. And we look, God helping us, we look. He gave us a sight to see. This is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone, God's will, that everyone would see the Son. Look! Now, look what our life salvation, how it continues. Look here in Hebrews 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, how are we going to do that? Looking. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. Who are you going to look at him at? Sitting at the right hand of God. Jesus is not down here. He's up yonder. He's sitting at God's right hand. And consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You see, beloved, life is preserved, and life is given in a look, and life is preserved in a look. Continually looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, here we have a race to run. Got a race to run. I run a little bit. Don't run much as I used to, but I still run a little bit. And I tell you what, I'm not going to run with clothes like this on. I'm not going to run in cowboy boots. I'm not going to run in combat boots. I did that when I was in the service. Had to run in combat boots. But I quit that when I found out, you know, that they made running shoes. But what you do is you take off everything so that the less weight you got. Don't even wear cotton to run in, because it gets wet and it gets heavy. And so you want the thinnest, smallest socks you can get, the lightest shorts you can get, and the lightest shirt you can get. And that's what Paul says. Get rid of all this weight you got here. And you know what kind of some of the weights we've got? Greatest weight we got is the sin which does so easily beset us. What do you think that sin is that does that easily besets us? What do you think it is? I seen a preacher the other day being questioned. All they was interested in was his stand on homosexuality. He says the scriptures is against it. She said, so when we said so, they said, you know, and a whole bunch of folks got on. Said, you mean tell me that if there's any gays or homosexuals in your service that you're calling them sinners? You reckon anything else goes to service but a sinner? He said, there's lots of sin. He said, pride is a sin. They didn't want to hear about that. He said envy is a sin. Self-righteousness is a sin. All they wanted to do is make him admit how wrong he was, how sinful he was, how self-righteous he was to call homosexuality a sin. And I'm going to say something right now, and I don't want to upset anybody, I don't want to make anybody mad. But I'll tell you this. If you can vote for anybody that sanctions homosexuality and gay marriage, if you can vote for them, anybody that has abortion on demand, and in Orlando, Florida, the other day, they cut the price of abortion in half, and they had 40-something women waiting in line to get in there to have an abortion because they could get it that much cheaper. If you can vote for a people, a party, or anybody else, or a candidate who believes in gay marriage and believes in abortion on demand, I say that, and I'm going to say this, if you never hear me ever preach again, there's no way somebody saved by the grace of God can sanction anything like that. It's immoral. It's ungodly. It's unrighteous.
Amen.
And that's why the sin that's so easily beset us. People want to catalog sin. But you know what? I'm going to tell you what sin easily besets us. Unbelief. That's our... When we get in trouble, just the minute something bad happens, unbelief slips right in on us. Don't it? What are we going to do about this? Look unto the Lord. What are we going to do about that? Look unto the Lord. What else are we going to do? Unbelief is the sin that so easily besets us. People want to catalog sin, and sin, the Scriptures tells us what sin is. But I'll tell you what it says here, lay aside the weight and the sin which does so easily beset us and run with patience. When you're wearied, look unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Ain't that what He says? Don't be weary and faint in your minds. When you're striving against sin, look what it says in verse 4. You've not yet resisted unto blood. You ain't never resisted sin to the time that it really, really cost you blood. Now, we may one of these days in the United States of America. We may one of these days. I know the only religion that's under assault in the United States of America is Christianity. If you say something against Muslims, you've got a fight on your hand. Say something against the Catholic, you've got a fight on your hand. But if they can say anything about Jesus, anything about a Christian, they want to. And we've not yet resisted unto blood, but we may one of these days. Bruce Crabtree and I was talking about that the other day. We very well may be against the law to tell the truth one of these days. And all, beloved, striving against sin, chastening to endure, and he says, this is the things we got. We got to keep looking to Christ. And he says, you've forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you in verse 5 as unto children. He said he exhorted you like you were children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you're rebuked of him. See, we got to endure chastening. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Now listen to it. If you endure chastening, God deals with you like he does his son. Because Father loves his children. And beloved, continually looking unto Jesus. And that's what he says there in verse 2. And I'll get on with it. Looking unto Jesus, the author. Where did our faith come from? Who gave it to us? Who worked it in us? Who bought it for us? The Lord Jesus Christ did. Who's going to complete it? Who's going to finish it? The Lord Jesus Christ did. That's why we're looking unto Him. Huh? And that's where we got to stay. Look to Him in your trial. Consider Him that endured such a contradiction to Himself. Look to Him for humility. Look to Him for grace and mercy. Let's be like Abraham. What did Abraham do? He was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. And that's what I'm doing. We're looking. And guess what? One of these days we'll go to sleep and we'll wake up right in the middle of that city. Little old Riley's just looking yesterday in Mary's office in there. She's got a picture of her mother and everybody in the family there. Picture of her mother when she was very young. And Riley looked and said, "That's Nanny's mommy." I said, "Yep, that's who that is." She says, "She's in heaven." I said, "Yeah." So she's going to come back tomorrow. I said, no, honey, she ain't come back. She's with the Lord Jesus. See, they can't conceive of that. But we're looking. We're looking to that time we leave and never come back. Huh? Looking unto Jesus. Let's be like Abraham. Let's not put our hand to the plow looking back. Let's look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And then let me show you this. In Philippians chapter 3. My third point is this. Is not only does life start with a look, life continues with a look, it's preserved by a look, but beloved, life will be consumed or consummated with a look. Look in Philippians 3:20. Our life will be consummated. One of these days, just be over with. Just like that with a look. He said, for our conversation, Philippians 3:20, for our conversation, that word conversation means our manner of life in this world. For our conversation, our manner of life is in heaven. We are heavenly minded people. We are looking to heavenly things. We think heavenly things. We believe in heavenly things. And our conversation, our manner of life is in heaven. And why? Because there we look for this Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're looking for Him. And how long do you reckon it'll be before He comes back? Well, He may come after you the next day or two. By nature itself, He's coming after you pretty quick. By nature, He's coming after you pretty quick. And guess what? You're looking for Him to come, ain't you? Oh, any man goes to bed every night looking for the Lord Jesus to come get him. He looks. And oh, what's going to happen? You see, it's our conversation, it's our walk. And look what it says here in verse 19. This is the kind of people who don't walk, who don't look, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. Their God's their belly. They live to satisfy the flesh. They mind things of this earth. And the things that they ought to be ashamed of, they glory in. But that's not us. No, no, we're looking for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, from heaven itself. And when He comes, look what He's going to do. He's going to change our body. You know, when there's a day in your life when you looked at yourself and said, boy, I'm getting old. There was a day that you didn't think that. And then all of a sudden, one day you look at your hands, and one day you look in the mirror and you say, my word, who is that looking back at me? You know why that is? So, why what? But you know, in our hearts and in our minds, we're still, most of us, 25, 30. But in our bodies, we huh? That's why He says He's going to change it. He's going to change it. And when you get to glory, we're not going to have spots and wrinkles and old age. We're going to be brand new. These five bodies are going to be changed, and He's going to fashion it. Fashion it. Or whatever His body said, I'm going to fashion it like unto His glorious body. Because He's able to subdue things, all things unto Himself. Oh, beloved, one of these days, bless His holy name, we'll be done with this vile body. And oh my, life will be, we're looking. Let me show you in Titus, over in Titus, that little book we've been looking at over here in Titus chapter 2. With me, look at this. Oh my, we're looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then look what He says here in Titus chapter 2 and verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope. Christ is our hope. Looking for that blessed hope. Who is that blessed hope? The appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's our great God and He's our Savior. That's why we're looking to Him. That's why we've got a hope. Hope in the Scriptures always has to do with the future and the resurrection. Always has to do with that. And we're looking to Him. Looking for Him, beloved. That blessed hope. What makes it blessed? Because Christ is our hope. That's what makes it blessed. What makes it blessed? Because He gave Himself for us. What makes it blessed? That He put away all of our sin, redeemed it for us. And oh, beloved, and it's blessed because of where it comes from. It's coming from Christ Himself. And then let me show you one more. John, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 3. Over to you, right? 1 John 3:3. Looking for that blessed hope. Life starts with a look. Look unto me and be ye saved. Life preserved in a look. We continually look into our Lord Jesus Christ. And life's going to end with a look. Huh? You know, this is one of the mysteries of the Scriptures. Bartimaeus saw him blind as a bat. But he saw him. And because he saw him, Christ gave him eyes to see. Now you can figure that out if you can. How do you figure that out? Bartimaeus saw him before he ever had sight. And because he saw him, the Lord Jesus Christ gave a blind man sight. Oh my. The mysteries of God's grace. Now look what it said here in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. Behold. There we got that word look again. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. We don't know what we're going to. Don't appear yet. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we what? Shall see Him as He is. Oh, you're talking about a change. What a change that's going to be. And beloved, when we see Him, we'll see He'll appear without sin the second time. Without a sacrifice. He'll appear as our salvation. And we'll be plumb saved. Now I want you to see this one other thing with me. A couple other things. Look with me in Luke 21. Just a moment. Luke 21. I want you to see this with me. And I'll tell you, thank God for seeing Christ. Luke 21, 27. One of these days when we see Christ, we'll be plumb saved then, as old Barnard said. And how do we look? We look by faith. How do we look? We look in His Word. And seeing Him whom we see not now, we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Look what it said here now in verse 27. Luke 21, 27. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with great power and glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up. What for? Lift up your heads. For your redemption draweth nigh. Look with me in Isaiah 45 just one more time. Let me show you two or three things. And I'm finished. There you go, family. You know, look what it says here now. In verse 22 again. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. I'm God. Nobody like me. And then look what he says. When we look to Christ and look unto Him, look what happens now. God swore by Himself, the word's gone out of my mouth and went out in righteousness. And it won't return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Now, beloved, have we not bowed our knees as we looked unto Him? Have we not bowed our knees? Have we not swore that our salvation's in the Lord Jesus Christ Himself? That there's salvation no place else? And this is what else we say. We quit striving with our Maker. Woe unto him that striveth with his Maker. This is what else we say. Surely shall one say in the Lord, I have righteousness. My righteousness is in Him. When you look to Him, that's what you say. I don't have no other righteousness. Look what else it says. And strength. And in the margin it says, surely shall he say of me, in the Lord is all righteousness and strength. Where else is he going to find it? We look to Him and that's what we say. And look what it said. And all that are incensed against Him shall be ashamed. We're so ashamed of our enmity that we had toward Him. Of the way we felt about Him. And then look what happens. And then look what happens to those that look to Him. In the Lord, shall all the seed of Israel be justified as your glory. Huh? Oh my, justified, glory, only in Christ, in the Lord. Amen. Amen.